You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
If your appliances can't handle the holiday hosting heat, December deal drops at Lowe's makes upgrading easy. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members save an additional $40 on the Whirlpool electric range and the over-the-range microwave. Plus, get up to 60% off select ladders so you can deck all the halls. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/10. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details.
Welcome to Eltel and John's La Liga Weekly European not-quite-so-special midweek preview show. Last week, I assured the Madridistas your side was facing a fluffy cloud of an Ajax team that could be swatted away with contempt. And I was nearly right. Perhaps more predictable was that the first ever Euro VAR came down in Madrid's favour. A confusing but probably correct decision to disallow an Ajax goal. And those pesky Europeans even went as far as explaining why and drawing lines on the screen. It'll never catch on in Spain. Four of the five Spanish clubs that played last week won. Betis were the most interesting, a 3-3 draw at Rennes. The sort of shambles we demand of Quique Setién's sides. Celtic forgot they weren't playing in the Scottish League and gave Valencia a goal start by all running out of the defence for no apparent reason. Sevilla are one away to Lazio, showing La Liga is better than Serie A, much to the relief of 11 sports. Even Villarreal won. And this week, Barca will have to wake themselves up to travel to Lyon on Tuesday, and every sensible observer is predicting a goal fest as Atleti host Juventus. Terry Gibson is still in Barcelona from this weekend's exhausting marathon session of watching Spanish football. Terry, should we look backwards first of all? That Real Madrid game, dangers of watching. I basically watched Ajax against Feyenoord. They were a shambles, but they really gave Real Madrid a good go. And personally, I think it helped that Real Madrid were lacking in energy, and you lack energy against a very young, energetic team that takes a lot of gambles, that presses all over the pitch, and you're inviting trouble, and they very nearly got it.
And also, Ajax must have felt they were underdogs, and then feel they had nothing to lose. So they didn't sit back, they weren't cautious, nothing negative about the performance of Ajax. And it ends up being a quite remarkable victory for Real Madrid. In really difficult circumstances, you could argue that Ajax deserved more from the game. But unfortunately, the harsh realities are that Real Madrid do tend to have these performances in Europe. They might be below par, but somehow always seem to come through. So you look at a really tough game for them in the first leg away from home. A lot of people argue, though, they got the rub of the green by winning by 2-1. But you do feel now that the result from that first leg will clearly favour them going into the Bernabeu, and it might just be a touch easier in the second leg for Real Madrid. But it might be a little bit harder for Ajax. But certainly, Ajax gave them more than a scare. Totally outplayed them, particularly the first half. I mean, they were just sensational to watch. So it was tough on Ajax.
Real Madrid at their worst, though, wasn't it? They were slow to the ball, and Casemiro plodding around. And when they attacked, I thought they attacked with some purpose, but for too long they were really pressed back. I suppose the flip of that is that the goal that they hit them on, it looked like a break, actually. When you see this on the news, they show you 10 seconds of a goal, it looks like it was on the break. But in reality, Real Madrid had the ball for a couple of minutes. And Modric played around. They pressed him. He was skillful enough to play it out. They played down Vinicius, down the left flank and across, and then a super finish. That's the danger, isn't it? When you energetically press a very good team, that they've got the ability to hold that ball and play around you, play through you, and then create clear chances.
And change the pace when it finally gets into the important areas. And Vinicius does that. It's a brilliant finish from Benzema, I have to say. But no, it was tough. But you kind of get the feeling in that game that it was inevitable that was going to happen. That Ajax play all this attacking football, they're exciting to watch. And then Real Madrid suddenly on the counter-attack, the chance they get, they take. And the game turns completely in their favour. But I mean, they're not European champions for the last 3 years and four times out of the last five without having that sort of know-how and knowledge. It was just surprising that's... I think Vinicius has certainly given them a different dimension, hasn't he? Even despite the fact that Gareth Bale's in amongst the squad, to have this youngster that's willing to run at pace with the ball, he's not entirely sure that every time he does it, he knows what he's doing. But there's certainly an end product with him. And him and Benzema in particular look to have linked up really well now.
Got a question from Jordan. Will Real Madrid now target the Champions League?
Yeah, I think they have. Well, in saying that, they're still in the Copa del Rey, in good shape in that against Barcelona as well, after joining the first leg at the Camp Nou. So I think they go into the second leg as favourites with home advantage. So that would be a tournament they also want to do better in than what they've done in recent seasons. And that's been Barcelona's property over the last 7 or 8 years as well. I think it's somehow a manager, whether it's Solari, it wasn't Lopetegui long enough, somehow a manager has got to make them more competitive in the domestic league as well. It must be interesting to know from a Real Madrid supporters' perspective whether they're entirely happy with the fact that Barcelona ruled the roost domestically and is the Champions League season after season. Or is that enough to satisfy them? Or do they want, you know, as well? I'd imagine they want to as well. Be really challenging Barcelona more, 9-point gap again now. So if there's any title that they're going to win this season, then they're certainly going to have to focus on the Champions League. Good shape against Ajax. I expect them to go through now.
Last one, looking back on that game, what would Barca fans have made of Frankie de Jong?
Same as any other player. And there's a lot of Ajax players that people are interested in. De Ligt is another one. You can see why the big clubs are interested in him as well. We know they get a fantastic backgrounds when they're brought up as younger players at Ajax, and De Jong was brought into the club a bit later than the others that we normally see come through the ranks. But no, I think, and we know the association with Barcelona and Dutch players, players from Ajax in particular, but Johan Cruyff and the history that they've got between the two clubs. So a lot to look forward to for him joining the club, that's for sure.
And I liked Van der Beek as well, as the Dutch yeah. called him as well. I thought he was really eye catching in that midfield as well. Right, let's look ahead to. I tell you what, let's do the Europa League before we look ahead to the Champions League, because we can discuss the results that have gone as well. Celtic against Valencia. You said you thought Valencia would have too much, and so it proved. Good performance by Valencia, wasn't it? They were the better team, weren't they, against Celtic?
Yes, they were, and I think we saw a difference in quality as well. If I'm being brutally honest, which isn't surprising. I mean, Valencia is still, although toiling a bit this season, they're still one of the bigger clubs in Spain. A good budget, they've attracted good players, and you compare that to the budget that Celtic have had and Brendan Rodgers. That's hence the reason I made Valencia favourites, but it was a really solid performance. Ruben Sabrina looks an interesting signing, a player that's never really nailed down a position in any club that he's been at in terms of being a regular choice, never sure whether he's a centre forward or a wide player. My preference would be as a central striker. So Valencia, that's an interesting signing. Didn't pay an awful amount of money for him, and he certainly played well in that game against Celtic, and they were the convincing winners, and they haven't wrapped it up yet. There's still work to do, but it would be a huge surprise if Celtic somehow find their way back into the tie now.
Wednesday, it's Sevilla against Lazio because the authorities have no sense of humour. They didn't want to put them on the same night as Betis playing against Rennes. So it was a good scoreline, wasn't it? Ben Yedder, 1-0 win for Sevilla away to Lazio.
Oh, it's a brilliant scoreline. And I think in the game on Sunday, Sevilla, that was their 42nd game of the season. Pablo Machin, in charge of Girona last season, played 40 in total. When I saw him interviewed after the defeat of Villarreal, he looked personally like he'd played in all 42, the whole 90 minutes. And that is my concern. They've got a number of injuries. They need to get people back fit. Munir played at the weekend. He needs to contribute to help share the load with Ben Yedder and Andre Silva. I've been concerned that Sevilla, if they can get half a dozen players back from injury that they've had in recent weeks, then it will help their cause. But the problem is their strongest 11 is their best 11. So Pablo Machin would clearly like to play them week in, week out, wouldn't he? But when you've already played 42... you're not going to be able to keep doing that for another 20-odd games by the looks of it. So it's a difficult one. But how they can find a way back in it, I don't know. Resting players and maintaining the same level.
Villarreal won away to Sporting. That was a terrific scoreline as well, wasn't it? Pedraza with a goal, and he got one at the weekend as well in that convincing win against Sevilla. Kieran's asking, will Villarreal build on this? What's changed since the coach came back? Obviously, it's not a question you normally ask, is it? What's the coach? What's he brought back with him after 6 weeks off?
The second era of Javier Kieff with a seven-week break in between. Well, he is playing three at the back now. That's a clear change. But I think Luis Garcia Plaza tried that as well. I think it was just a question of him trying everything different every single game. And Bakker and Akambi have ended up a partnership up front in the win against Sevilla. I was surprised they got the win midweek in the Europa League, which sets them up well for the second leg at home. So perhaps that win, the surprising win against Sporting Lisbon, just gave them a little bit of a boost going into the game against Sevilla. It should be a surprise that Villarreal are beating Sevilla at home, beating Sporting Lisbon away. That's more like what we normally expect from Villarreal. So it was an outstanding win for them. And as I say, a big surprise. But now we would like to think maybe that Villarreal turned the corner under the newish manager, the return of Calleja and moving in the right direction now.
Betis got a 3-3 draw. They were 3-1 down, weren't they? So good resilience to come back. You know, they're hard to predict, aren't they, Betis?
Yeah, they were 2-0 down after 9 minutes. And then Junior Firpo gets an injury, which appears to be quite serious. He's going to keep him out for a few months. So that's a big loss to them. Their squad is maybe at the moment is in better shape than Sevilla's in terms of they haven't played as many games. They do appear to have numbers in terms of the Kike Setién can rotate it around. And I'm not sure there's evidence yet of the strongest lineup from Kike Setién. There's a few players that we think in big games we know will kind of play. But in general, I don't think we've yet come to realise the consistent, strongest lineup from Kike Setién. So I think that's evidence that he has about 22 players, 23 players, outfield players that he can use, can trust. And that's serving him better. But to be 2-0 down away from home after 9 minutes, losing an important player, to be 3-1 down, running out of time, to come back and get the 3-3 draw is a really good performance for an away leg in a Europa League tie. And it should see them set up nicely to wrap things up in the second leg at home.
And then Champions League. So Tuesday is Lyon against Barcelona. Lyon in decent form in the French League. They won 2-1 against Guingamp, but the weekend, Moussa Dembélé, the young Moussa Dembélé scored five in his last eight games. Obviously, Barca have greater quality. They've got the world stars and all of that. They need to improve on what they did at the weekend, didn't they? Luis Suarez came on, played like he was wearing flippers again. Messi, I just wonder whether Messi will ever get a rest. I thought, they weren't great. He wasn't great. He looked a bit tired at the weekend. And it's such an important game. They can't afford to mess this up.
No, this is where this season, I mean, with a 9-point lead over Real Madrid and the healthy lead over second place Atletico, was the lead over Atletico.
Seven
points over Atletico. It's set up nicely now for them to have a real good go. I think in general this season, Valverde has made sure that players, the strongest team, have rested more than they did certainly last season. I think it was a valid criticism last year that he went all out to win the league, to win the Copa del Rey. We saw them playing week in, week out. He was reluctant to use the fringe players. But I think I did see a statistic recently where players like Rakitic and Messi, Busquets, have played significantly less this season than last season. Now, I'm not even entirely convinced that was the reason they lost to Roma last year. I think it was just they won the first leg comfortably, took their foot off the pedal, tried to be complacent in the second leg and came up against a team that was got an early goal and was on fire. And Barcelona just couldn't turn around that form in that particular game and got overrun. But so I think he's tried his best this year to try and keep it fresh because he knows the criticism is going to come to him again if they fail in this competition. Do I see him failing against Lyon? There's some familiar faces. Nabil Fekir, who's been sought after by, with all due respect, bigger clubs than Lyon across Europe. Memphis Depay, the former Manchester United player. You mentioned the young Moussa Dembele, ex-Celtic and Fulham. Jason Denayer, Man City and Chelsea. And Papa Diop, the ex-Celtic ego player, is part of their midfield. So some familiar faces. But when I look at the standard of those players, it doesn't match up to the standard of Barcelona. So the third in Ligue 1, 13 points behind PSG and behind Lille in second. I would imagine it could be tough. If Barcelona will certainly have to play better than they have done in the last four games. Three draws and stumbling across a win and against Valladolid last weekend in La Liga. Can they turn that form again? I suspect the answer is probably yes. I think their focus can afford now to be on the Champions League with the gap they have at the top of the La Liga now.
Which leaves us one tie to discuss. I hesitate to call it the glamour tie, but in some ways it is. It's Atleti against Juve. And it's really not going to be 3-3.
I know. I've laughed and said it's going to be 2-0 draws and penalties, but I think that's being flippant. I think when you look at the two teams now, Juventus, it's been they are defensively absolutely superb, but they should be likes of Chiellini and Bonucci there as well. And then you see one of the important players, I think, and I'm not, Ronaldo is a given. He's going to be hugely important in this game. But every time I see Juventus play, the one player that stands out for me is a former Atletico Madrid player, and that's Mandzukic. Mm-hmm. He plays up front. He's fulfilling the Benzema role for Ronaldo. So he's happy to go wherever Ronaldo isn't. And it's not unusual to see him running up and down the wing and then he's playing centre forward, he's dropping deep, he's chasing back. So that's going to be interesting to see Atletico Madrid come up against one of those players that I've talked about on previous podcasts that didn't stay long at Atletico and the Simeone. And I think Juventus have got enough attacking talent to suggest that they are capable of scoring goals. Dybala looks in better form now. They can't, you know, of course you imagine Ronaldo is going to be, you know, itching to do well with some sort of return playing against Spanish opponents. And then when you look at Atletico Madrid now, you know, Griezmann, Morata, Costa, Thomas Lemar, there's attacking players there. So I think that we're sort of looking stereotype of Italian team and Juventus that, you know, don't concede goals, but don't score many. The Atletico Madrid of Simeone has changed. They are, you know, still pretty successful. I mean, Europa League winners from last season. They still compete regularly against Barcelona and Real Madrid, but it isn't the Simeone team that we've associated with over the years. So, for instance, they're conceding goals from set pieces and stuff like that. They're, you know, it's a different group of players and they have to evolve. He has to be a major part in making sure they do evolve as a group of players, the likes of Rodrigo, Saul. I know he's been knocking around the team for a while, and Koke, but it's not Thiago and it's not Gabby and it's not Juan Fran and Felipe, a regular basis playing in the fullback positions. It's not Raul Garcia playing off of Diego Costa. It's a whole different group of players. So there is the potential there to be goals. So I'm going to go for a 5-4 Atletico Madrid win against you.
What will they do tactically, though, Terry, with this one? Juve aren't really a front foot kind of team, are they? Even when they're playing in Serie A, it's quite controlled football, isn't it? They don't rip into teams. They sort of trust themselves to retain possession because their midfield is so skillful, and they trust that there will be goals to come because obviously Ronaldo's doing what he does, and as you say, he's got good support from Mandzukic, and to a lesser degree, I suppose, Dybala this season, a terrifically talented player though he is. Neither of the teams seem to be the natural one to really take the game to the other.
No, I think when you look at it, I think Atletico at home in the first leg, and they will be scared stiff of conceding a goal.
Mm.
So that will, I think, dictate the style from Simeone. I think Simeone would probably accept a 0-0 in the first leg at home. And in the hope that his team can go away and steal an away goal, and Juventus have to get two. So I think it's really important that Atletico Madrid do approach the first leg in a sort of positive manner with the appropriate amount of attacking players on the pitch. But I think utmost, it must be in their minds, Simeone's, to keep a clean sheet. So it's going to be a cagey affair, the first leg, that's for sure. And I think Juventus, I'm calling Juventus Ronaldo FC, Juventus are a team that can mix it up. They can play possession football, mention the defenders and how strong they are defensively, dominant in Italian football for the last 7 or 8 years now, and dominant again this season. They're in the perfect position. I think they're out of the Coppa Italia. They're romping it in Serie A, so they're set up nicely to have a real challenge in the Champions League. They're many people's favourites to win it this season because of the signing of Ronaldo. But this is going to be a tough one, and we shouldn't forget the finals in Atletico Stadium. So that's going to be motivation for Atletico Madrid, who probably, likewise, out of the Coppa del Rey. Probably Simeone knows it's an outside chance that they can catch Barcelona, despite them to play them again this season. And the Atletico Madrid, I think their focus now is to try and be the home team in a Champions League final where they've just come up short in recent seasons, both times against Real Madrid. Can they go one better and win it in their own stadium? So this is a really tough one to call. One of the issues I might bring up is I think with Juventus, with the goalkeeper they've got, Chesney, I'm not sure that's going to be enough to win a Champions League. I think it's the one possible weakness. And in the fine margins that you come into in this tournament, particularly in the later stages, then that might be an issue with Juventus. I'm still surprised that with the money they've bought, the money they've spent, the players they've got, that they've ended up with Arsenal's goalkeeper that they were quite prepared to allow to leave, and he's playing on a regular basis for Juventus. So little margins like that might prove to be the difference. You'd rather have a black and gold and Volchek Chesney. So there's not a lot to call between these two.
Well, enjoy the game, because it could be the Juve's recce for the final, couldn't it, at the Metropolitano? But we shall see. So enjoy your European football this week, everybody. Round of La Liga to come next weekend. So Terry will be back with me. Looking across the table, all of that. So another podcast to come at the weekend. We'll see you for that. Bye-bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.